I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Jim Campbell.
Hello.
That man over there.
All right.
That piece of work, Luke Moore. And I'm Pete Donaldson. Welcome to the show. It's the Football Ramble, and it's Monday time. I've just realised, Luke, that I'm going to be able to hand out some points.
Oh.
Because we're doing an opening question.
Monday is party day in this neck of the woods.
I know.
Day. None of that fry-yay business.
I feel so excited and so responsible.
Mon-yay.
Mm. Our pre-kend begins on Monday.
It does. You can't be any more irresponsible with those points than a certain man who's regularly of this parish.
Mm. Yeah.
So do your worst, I say.
Marcus fans, the little hairy boy, will be back on Thursday, won't he?
He will be.
Yep.
Full of stories and Derring do, no doubt. You feeling all right, lads?
Yeah, pretty good.
Should I get you into the show? Because, I mean, obviously, it's been a busy weekend of football.
Because Daddy's away.
We've got to look after each other.
You're the cool uncle looking after us.
Yeah!
Oh, can I have some sweets?
Oh, can we have a hooch? No, I'm having the sweets. Well, we're knocking out the MD 2020 very soon,
good, indeed.
David Wagner and Neil Warnock charmed us all with their exchanges in a press conference this weekend. Clearly, that kind of badinage lends itself very well to a sitcom. So if
just
you
great raillery.
It was lovely, wasn't it?
It's red hot badinage.
Basically, Neil Warnock had to get like moving pretty soon, so he just basically jumped in the middle of David Wagner's press conference.
He's got
just
to the stage in his life where he doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no way he's getting a train back from the game, is there? No. So it's just pure impatience there.
So clearly, they deserve their own sitcom. Who wouldn't pay to watch Wagner and Warnock together? If you were to help them create said pilot episode, though, what would happen in it?
I mean, do you want me first?
Yeah, all right.
Does Jim, you normally go first?
Well, yeah, I mix it up.
All right, fine.
Yeah. Dad's not here.
He's not. I can see it being a very straight down the line, two men living in a house type sitcom.
Right.
Where they just, a bit like The Likely Lads, you know, for the teenagers listening.
Yeah. Game on for those slightly older.
Quite.
Men behaving badly.
Peep show for a real one.
Great. Your answers are coming in a minute. So, that sort of stuff. But the kicker is here, the hapless next door neighbour is none other than the mirror's John Cross,
nice,
right? Who, at the end of every episode, does something wrong. Mm. Like, for example, I don't know, floods the kitchen while mucking around with the washing machine.
Yeah.
And the kicker catchphrase at the end is Neil Warnock going, he loves Arsenal, does our John, but he's no good with a washing machine. And the live studio audience who've been invited in our present
probably lose it, just giving themselves hernias.
It'd be better than Mrs. Brown's Boys, that's all I'm saying.
Well, all of those sitcoms in, certainly the 90s used to have somebody used to pop round. There was Roger in Sister Sister.
Yep.
There was a bloke in Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Dorothy in Birds of a Feather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is she called Dorothy?
Neil Morrissey on Noel's House Party.
Yeah.
Even.
There we go.
Even they had a wacky neighbour.
Mr. Blobby.
Mr. Blobby.
There too. Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that video where Mr. Blobby's not allowed to go to New York?
No.
Check it out on YouTube. It is incredible. It's basically Noel going, you're not going to New York, and being the, you know, vindictive little man we all know he is in private.
Yeah.
And Mr. Blobby just loses his goddamn mind.
Pete, is it fair to say in this, when you look back at those images and those videos of Noel's house party, particularly on those Facebook groups, in the post-Operation U3 in which we inhabit, the environment we inhabit, it does take a rather sinister undertone whenever you see something.
I think we'll probably have a whole generation of listeners who don't know that Niall Edmonds has been famous before.
But we don't care about them.
No,
do
we don't. No, but just bear it in mind, like he's been mad in a lot of ways. Yeah. He's dyed his beard now.
He's a big I know a little bit about Niall Edmonds, not a lot, but a little bit. He's a big proponent of what he calls, I think, cosmic ordering. Have you heard about this? The idea being that you sit down very calmly and you ask the universe for what you need, and eventually, in a variety of different, perhaps sometimes cryptic ways, the universe will deliver to you.
What a fascinating interpretation of privilege.
Yeah, but presumably what Noel Edmonds asked for was a terrible game show.
he writes stuff on his hand, doesn't he?
Edmonds. Okay.
I can't stand him. He's not funny. He's not interesting. He's not a particularly good presenter.
A bit rich.
Is that what this is?
Yeah. But I've got a stupid accent.
Regional.
Yeah. Anyway, Noel Edmonds would not feature in my sitcom.
Right.
So it's no problem. No problem my end.
Jim, can we have your answer,
Yeah, we
please?
Can. So mine would be a bit different from that. It would be a little less sort of studio based. So the premise would be that both Wagner and Warnock, as you so brilliantly called them, would come to blows in a video that goes viral, leading to both getting sacked from their clubs. Meanwhile, up north, Rafa Benitez leaves Newcastle after they fail to match his ambitions. Then the only applicants for the job are, of course, Wagner and Warnock. And because of the administrative hellhole that is Newcastle, somehow, oh my God, they both get the job.
I like that.
And they're too stubborn for one to step aside. So effectively, they don't take the job together to begin with. They both insist they are the manager and are trying to sort of do the job around each other. They have to share a car. They have to share a hotel room.
Yeah.
Gets to the point they're trying to sign Leroy Fur to stave off relegation next season, right? But they're both trying to do it in a sort of Mrs. Doubtfire style thing. They're trying to trick each other. And he's like, I've had enough of this. I don't like it. And they learn, actually, they've got to work together.
Yeah,
so that's the premise. They both manage your beloved Newcastle.
That was a very detailed answer. I'm worried that you think this is a pitch meeting and you're going to make some money out of it. of it. You're not, Jim. You're not.
Would this be called...
Talk to me.
Would it be called hashtag job share?
It could be called job share. Yeah, job share is good.
Yeah.
Called
that. It reminds me in a weird
Zero
way
hours.
About the... I think there's a scene in Only Fools and Horses where the character Derek, played by David Jason, who a lot of us know as Del Boy,
has accidentally
organises two dates on the same night.
Oh,
hello.
What?
Hello, he's got to do both.
Vicar of Dibley, two Sunday lunches.
Yeah.
Two Christmas dinners.
Exactly,
you got to do.
Exactly, yeah. Vicar of Dibley, I mean, is it underrated? It's a little bit underrated, I think. Yeah. I don't mind it. I'll just put it
right.
out, I don't
More
mind
More people
it.
Talk about it than the British Empire, so let's just put that there.
They do,
oh,
they
British,
do.
The British Empire has an absolutely fascinating ending. Do you know how that ended?
No.
It was all a dream.
Oh, that
yes.
can't be real.
Absolutely promise was, you that's real. And he has the dream, and then he goes to the job interview to get the actual job, and all of the people from his dream are in the leisure centre, and he thinks nothing of it.
Well.
So Jim's is called hashtag Jobsham. Mine hasn't even got a name.
No, I haven't got a name either, but I've only got a very basic plot. Neil Warnock has an important meeting with his chairman, and he's told his chairman that he's married to Wagner and lipstick, basically.
Oh, right.
Wagner dressed
right.
Up like a lady.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
and, so. And Warnock has to kind of know what they've done together and stuff. They've got to make an elaborate backstory, but they don't know each other that well.
Why is this happening?
Because I want to see him Wagner in lipstick.
Right. So this is more of a sort of 5-minute sketch.
Yeah. I love the way Jimmy he describes that as a quote, a basic plot. One man wears lipstick.
Yeah.
And then we'll work around that.
Yeah.
Well, I think Jim's got the points.
Yeah, that's
if only
fair.
For the fact he wrote a really detailed kind of...
I think comedy has the points.
Yeah. You shouldn't have storyboarded it. That was just weird.
We're glad you did.
We're all trying to diversify.
Luke, you're a big fan of the Friday night Premier League football match, aren't you?
Yeah.
Had one. It was West Ham 1, Tottenham 0.
I like the way that they shamelessly go after the common or garden casual football fan with Friday night. Look, let's wear casual clothes. We're just like you guys. I know that the football experts wearing suits can come across as a little bit intimidating.
Yeah.
So here's a dress down, I'm on holiday in Marbella shirt. And Rachel Riley was wearing a sort of sleeveless number. It's
right.
casual, it's Friday.
Yeah,
enjoy
it's
it. Enjoy it.
Reef did a song.
They,
you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
They're back.
And apart from that, I think it's truly awful. And the good thing they also did tactically is that they, pun intended, they put an even worse show on afterwards, which makes that show not look as bad.
Mm.
But it's easy to sit here and complain. Isn't it? It's easy to criticise
really
without any constructive aspect to the criticism. But no, yeah, I mean, the game
itself...
Have
you got itself, any there?
No, I haven't, no. I was just looking at my notes frantically, I haven't really. The game itself was a clearly a real touchstone, a real cornerstone of the season. I mean, Spurs finally losing after 9 solid league wins in a row.
They knocked on that door, though, it's
they
fair
did,
to say.
They
West,
wrapped,
West Ham
they
kept
it
them
hard.
Out.
They wrapped it hard. They've wrapped that Chelsea door hard for the last sort of 2 or 3 months, to be fair. And the thing I really love about this is that Spurs, for the second season in a row, I mean, with not the biggest budget at all by any means in the Premier League, are the only team that really have a go to try and hunt down a sort of a runaway leader in the title race. And then the fans of all the other clubs, who should be doing a load better, City, United, Liverpool, Arsenal, oh, you bottled it.
Give it
hang
sniffy,
a minute.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. We made a go of this. We made this interesting for people.
You were happy with fourth.
Yeah.
And then bottled it.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I'm not having that. I'm not. You can't, and that's the point with the Rachel Riley thing.
She said,
well, I'm going to blame her. She said that.
Blame
on
her football team, Manchester United.
The point I want to make is, if you are going to put it out there that a team has, in quotes, bottled the title, for me, they need to be in the lead. They need to have been lead. They need to be Newcastle. I hate to bring it up, Pete. They need to be Newcastle.
Right.
And at no point were Spurs in the lead. They made a good fist of it. What's happened for them has been the European thing in the autumn, when I think they won one game in October and one game in November. A lot of their difficult results came after Champions League football and stuff, and they lost in December after a Champions League game as well. And Chelsea clearly hugely benefited from
not having any European football to speak
of. Lord Ramble and I were talking ahead of the North London Derby actually about the run Spurs have been on, and how one of the things he was worried about was the maths of it, because these runs are rare for a reason, that people go on these long winning streaks. And I think if you look at the performance they put in against West Ham, you've got to think the effort expended in that run of getting those wins over the line, and quite emphatically in some cases, is probably be caught up with them a little bit, because they didn't really look themselves.
I was thinking that watching that game, first of all, I was thinking he's going to bring Dembele on early here, and he needs to do that. But I was also thinking that and he obviously didn't do that till later on, but I was also thinking that you know, when you're in a situation as a team where you're in such a good run And there have been situations in that run that Spurs have been on where it's not always gone for them. I mean, the Crystal Palace game is a classic example, but they've managed to find a way to win. And I think you probably, as a unit, invest so much in that system, so much in trusting how it works. You may be not as quick to change it as you would be because you think, well, do you know what? It's going to work because it works in the past and we're always going to be fine. And then that's maybe what happened to them. And obviously, it was an off night for them. I don't think at all there was any psychological aspect to it. I just think they won nine in a row, and sooner or later, you know, you're going to lose a game. That's how it works.
But isn't that what's great about having a confident team? Just sort of having a team that things kind of fall into place because you're playing with that confidence, playing with that kind of
verve. You are making your own luck as well in that situation by closing stuff down and just being pumped and up.
I think they're great to watch. They've been great to watch. I mean, Chelsea have been almost like machine-like. You know, and you respect it, and clearly they're going to be worthy winners of the Premier League, and it's a great turnaround, the great job that Conte's done there in his first season. But for me, Spurs are a lot more soul about them. When we were watching them, they're a lot more, for my taste, a bit more entertaining. But, you know, Conte made a reasonable point as well, and it's a biased point, but I understand why he's making it. He said, look, you know, Pochettino's been there a lot longer than me. I mean, he's got his feet under the table, is what he's essentially saying. For me, it's a lot more pressure on me because Chelsea have won a lot more stuff recently, and also I'm in my first season. So he's done a great job, and he deserves credit. And the fact that Spurs slipped up in a game against a rival and all that stuff, you know, it happens. Chelsea will be worthy winners of the title, no question.
My favourite quote of the weekend was from Jonathan Pearce, which was, "The sands of time are ticking away on another title challenge for Tottenham Hotspur." I'll say that again. "The sands of time are ticking away on another title challenge for Tottenham Hotspur." What? Not how sand works.
Ticking away. Well, you've never had ticking sand? No, James. Unbelievable.
James.
Conte does say that Pochettino does have an advantage over him. Is that kind of the best thing about Chelsea, though, that they're not playing quite like a Conte side? I don't understand why he thinks that having a little bit longer with the players even helps. Sometimes you fall out of love with your manager.
There are managers, clearly, who I would argue the more limited ones who do make an impact as soon as they come through. But I mean, for obvious reasons, but clearly Conte isn't one of those managers. I mean, he's been lucky enough to bring it, or fortunate enough to come along with a group of players who were massively underperforming the season before, and as a result didn't have any European commitments. And we saw Liverpool go close when they had no European commitments, you know, and it's understandable. Chelsea got a lot of quality. I mean, they're worthy winners. I don't want people to think I'm sort of denigrating their season, because they've had a great season.
How does Spurs do next season? How are they going to fare when they've come so close once again, and they're going to be at what is effectively an away stadium for all of their home matches?
I think they'll actually be okay, because if you look at what happened with Liverpool, because they led, it's similar thing to what you said, and they did blow it.
Right,
that was really, really psychologically damaging. Spurs haven't done that. Spurs can look at this as something to build on rather than something that they let slip. So I think they'll be okay, although obviously, you know, so much is down to how they settle in at Wembley, and obviously Wembley is known as being like the sort of the home of all that is good and pure in English football, and hopefully that will ring true and ruin it for them.
I just think there's a lot of variables for the next season. They've got a lot of hurdles to overcome, and they've got to also deal with teams like City and United, who are going to clearly going to improve a great deal. I mean, it's going to be tough for them, but it's a competitive division.
I mean, we said that last season as well, and here we are.
Yeah.
Second season's Soko.
Yeah,
that's what they'll
true.
Have.
Second is he waiting in the wings? Is he waiting in the wings?
Speaking of S's, Sunderland at the foot of the table. We said it on this podcast.
Yeah.
It would be the most Premier League thing to happen if Sunderland pulled Hull in, and the already relegated Black Cats obviously put a spanner in. Those works.
How must Marco Silva feel that his, I think, 3-year unbeaten home league record has been taken?
His first loss at home since March 2014.
Been ripped from his bosom.
To David Moyes' relegated Black Cats.
By the ghost of David Moyes present.
But Jordan Pickford was fantastic in this match. But Moyes, ever the cheery chap, didn't fancy him at the start of the season. He tried to get Joe Hart in on loan, I think, which would have been an interesting move. But
David Moyes doesn't like any of his players.
No.
That's understandable.
Or any footballers anymore.
He was probably properly confused after that game against Hull. I mean, what's happened here?
Strange old performance from Hull as well. They looked a little bit timid. And Defoe's goal, I know it was very late on, but that was some shonky defending.
It was miles offside, Jim.
Yeah.
He was like 3 yards offside.
Linesman work.
If you're going to hold the line and the linesman's not going to give it to you, I mean, he was miles offside.
He wasn't even bending his run.
He was the only person there. Like, it's a strange old...
It was a sort of goal where if it wasn't a player, a sort of a striker as well sort of drilled as Defoe, who's just spent his whole life sniffing out goals.
Yeah.
A lot of players would have been like, oh, I'm obviously offside here, I'm not going to bother. He was straight in there. But yeah, it was a terrible performance by Hull, clearly. And exactly obvious to say what they didn't want at this stage of the season. I mean, I think they just took Sunderland way too lightly. I think that they thought they're already relegated. I mean, they haven't turned up all season.
So, home form's great.
Yeah, and I think they believe their own hype a little bit. But the only sort of silver line to that cloud is a bit like
pun intended.
Yeah, we're quite is that they it's happened early enough in the season. It's not terminal for them. Their future's not in their own hands, but they can still have a good say in what happens now.
That's all you can ask for at this point in the season, though. That you're not relying on anybody else to.
I think Hull will be because Swansea are now nipped ahead of them by a point. Yeah. So
I mean, is there an argument that if you lose to Sunderland at home, you deserve to go down? So maybe them and Palace will go somehow.
Instant relegation. Yeah. Instant relegation. Yeah, quite. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we will be talking about the legendary five course that went in against Crystal Palace very soon, indeed. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Pete, Jim, Luke with you. The hairy boy is still away, but we're doing fine, aren't we, guys?
Yeah, okay,
we're
so far.
We're doing fine. The hairy boy will be in attendance on the 27th of May in Hackney.
Stop calling him the hairy boy.
No, he's the hairiest boy. I like it. It's nice.
You like it because you know how much you'll get annoyed by it, that's why.
I can't.
Then why don't you like it?
True point.
I can't tell what is going on with his face, whether he's angry or happy, because there's so much hair.
You hairy bastard. Yeah. Right, yeah, carry on.
We're going to be going to Hackney to do a live show on the 27th of May. I'm excited. It's a Saturday night, Luke.
Yeah, you normally get up to all sorts of incredulous things on a Saturday night, so it's a bit of a change for you.
Last time I brought face paints and jackets and crazy stuff, so
The last time we did a live show, sorry to cut in there, Pete, but you spent quite a long time trying to convince Marcus and Jim to have their faces painted, which you eventually did, to your credit.
Yeah.
So this thing could happen.
I was never fully convinced, but it happened anyway.
Yeah. I think I gave Jim a Joker face.
You did.
Joker face. I really enjoyed it, to be honest.
There are some tickets still available.
So more of that.
But we want to give a couple of tickets away. A couple of pairs of tickets away, I should say.
Yes, we'll give a couple of pairs of tickets away. If you want to come, just email us with the subject line Hackney. That's all. Yeah. Hackney. It's as simple and as unalloyed as that. Hackney, and send it to show@thefootballramble.com, and we'll select two winners at random who each will receive a pair of tickets to the Hackney show.
There you go. Can't argue with that, can you?
But if you miss out,
Buy them.
Yeah, buy them anyway. Mm.
Crying out loud.
Stop trying to get cheap on us.
Jeez.
God. Two shows a week for nothing.
Unbelievable. Going down our bins, basically. Check our Twitter for more details on how to buy tickets, or just search the Hackney Empire website. Have we got some emails, Mr. Lukmer?
Yes, we have. The first email is going to excite you just when I read the subject line.
Whoa.
The subject line is Footballer Tips, Bolo Zenden.
Bolo Zenden. Yeah. We do not hear enough from that man.
This is from Dan from Epsom. He says, hello chaps, my brother and I worked for a removal firm one summer many years ago. The removal company had links to a Dutch removal company, keep quiet Jim, and one day my brother had to go to move a Dutch person into a flat in South Kensington. That person was Dutch international Boudewijn brackets Bolo Zenden.
Mm.
My brother and one other unloaded the not inconsiderable amount of gear up into Bolo's new flat, up lots of stairs, and while no tip is necessarily expected, you are optimistic when the customer is a Premier League footballer. I think that's fair. So what did he give them? Each got a signed postcard of Bolo doing an overhead kick in his Holland kit and a can of Coca-Cola, which Bolo blatantly didn't pay for as he had crates of the stuff in his flat. They were clearly freebies. This can surely go down in the bottom of your tips league table.
Oh, that is absolutely awful.
I like to think that picture was him in his garden.
And it's like a market job Holland shirt. Yeah. And he's clearly like 40.
And the ball's photoshopped in anyway.
And I also like the idea of him going, cheers for all that hard work, chaps. I've got a little something for you. Wait here. And then going, oh, lovely stuff. Beer money coming up.
Nothing's better.
No.
I mean, nothing is better than that.
Exactly.
You can't even sell that.
No.
We actually got a tweet over the weekend from a guy who used to work in a casino who said Jerzy Altidor tipped £100.
Wow, that's good.
Does that count? The bar was free for some reason, so I wonder whether that makes it count. I think it still does.
If I know the bar's free, I'll even take my wallet with me. Let alone the addition out of cash. And this one from Andrew Roythorne. Dear Ramblers, when will Luke start his 50-year anniversary celebrations of the Summer of Love? I'm curious.
Oh, yeah.
From Andrew. Well, when it's summer, I guess. Yeah. I haven't really planned anything. A bit like a fire festival. It'll probably be fine.
It's going to be like a Lee Sharp barbecue, maybe.
Yeah. Think of the classic 90s Lee Sharp barbecue crossed with fire festival, crossed with men behaving badly. That's what I'm doing.
And a mate, I don't know how I even found this, but a mate's tweeted like a few years ago that they were DJing a barbecue with Lee Sharp.
Right.
And
wow.
I was like, have you been to a Lee Sharp barbecue?
Yeah.
Is he upped it now?
No, it was just a barbecue that Lee Sharp happened to be at.
Right.
Okay, right.
Not his own.
Do you reckon he was saying to people, I used to do my own ones, Lee? this ain't as good as mine.
What I'm thinking maybe is the event has scaled up since then.
Yeah, it could be. Do you reckon he's still got a fan club? Who knows?
I reckon he stands by the barbecue tending it like a real bloke, though.
I'll be
tending the meat.
Yeah, any man worth his salt does that, I don't know. This is one from an email that wishes to remain anonymous, so I shall absolutely satisfy that request. Afternoon Ramblers, I've got to take issue with you describing Neville as being so named because his parents couldn't be bothered. Having read Gary's autobiography on one particularly slow day at work, I'm sure it's
just one. Yeah. Let's get through the whole thing.
I'm sure it says it was because his parents was too stubborn, so when the nurse said you can't name him Neville, they decided to say a big fat oh yes we can. Your summary of the story was, I'm afraid, the Phil Neville of summaries, 12% worse than the truth.
That's very Gary Neville. He's quite a stubborn footballer.
It is Gary Neville that's emailed in.
Well, I'm going to undermine the anonymous plea by saying, anonymous plea says, not only have I admitted I spend a day's work reading average autobiographies, but I also work with Phil Neville. So Phil Neville can go on his own super sleuth detective mission to find out who that is.
Yeah.
And I'll end with this one. It's a bit of a longer one, so bear with me. This one is from Nick and Richard. He says, hi, Football Ramble. I heard the call for random acts of kindness from footballers and wanted to write in about my dad, who has been a dedicated teacher for 40 years and also a lifelong Chelsea fan. After slogging it out for many years at various comprehensives, his time came in 2000 while working at a fancy private school. He was thrilled to hear that the children of Chelsea's current and greatest ever number two, Kevin Hitchcock, was starting in the new academic year. What added to his delight even more is that he would be teaching one of them. It has to be said now for the record that Kev is a stand-up dad. Not only did he never miss a parents' evening, but he also gave up one sunny Saturday morning in June to help out at the summer fete. He put himself between the sticks and allowed young kids, myself included, and confident parents to have a pop at sticking five pennos away against him. The icing on the cake was when he came up to my dad's classroom on the last day of term to personally thank him for teaching his child all year and hand over a personalised signed goalkeeper shirt from all the Chelsea team.
Fantastic. Just,
thanks, Ramblers. See you in Hackney from Nick and Dad, brackets Richard. There you go, Kevin Hitchcock, stand-up guy, apparently.
That's wonderful. Good man.
He doesn't tip in money, but he tips in things money cannot possibly buy.
Show at thefootballramble.com if you want to get involved.
You want a tip.
And if you've got any stories about Kevin Hitchcock.
What's the biggest tip you've given, Pete? You're quite a generous chap, and you're the most generous one of all
when
of us.
The biggest tip you've ever given, you won't remember.
First in London, I gave. I was writing a lot of checks that my ass definitely could not cash because I was very poor, and it took like 3 or 4 days to cash. And I gave, I think, £15 to a toilet attendant
in a check.
Yeah,
that is the most Alan Pardew thing I've ever heard.
I assumed that a man who had the thickest Nigerian accent I've ever heard in my life, that his banking might have been done in Lagos, see? So that's why I thought he'd take some time to cash the cheque. He didn't. He cashed it almost immediately. And I couldn't eat for a week. So well done, me.
The hell? Dude, if I may, please just take some time to think about Pete writing out a cheque in a pub toilet for £15 to a toilet.
That's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Just
you can have a tenner,
for a couple of
15
days.
Quid if it's a cheque.
Don't cash it yet. Yeah. Oh, you have.
I do miss the chequebooks.
Yeah.
They were very...
So why, been... was down the
yeah. Yeah,
so he actually cashed it straight away.
He cashed it straight
classic.
Away.
Classic stuff.
Skint that week. Absolutely brassic.
Yeah.
Terrible business. So, Manchester City 5, Crystal Palace 0.
What a start to the weekend for football.
This week...
Oh, it wasn't a start because it was Friday night football. What a start to the Saturday football.
I mean, it was quite a boring first half for a lot of the matches as well on Saturday. But this win gave Man City a 4-goal difference cushion over Liverpool, which might count at the end of the season. It might count.
I would be worried if I was a Palace fan, big time.
Yeah, oh,
they needed the points as well. And
the problem with a defeat like that is it's absolutely demoralising. They were taken apart by City. They look like the City of the start of the season.
And Palace look like they struggle badly at the back without Saka, who's out for the season. Mm. Crystal Palace play Hull next.
Yeah.
And I know how you love the way I say Hull.
Enjoyed
it. If they lose to Hull, it is on.
Yeah,
he's on.
Because if they do lose to Hull, they've got Man United on the last day of the season as well, which is really tough. Like the running,
Mourinho's going to play like 11 actual flamingos for that game and be like, "What do you expect? What do you want from me?"
So Swansea have got Sunderland away, and then West Brom at home, who will be well and truly
both
on the
winnable.
Beach by then.
Clermont's going to have that for breakfast.
Hull, is that right?
Hull.
Yeah. They've got Palace away, and then Spurs at home on the last day, and then Palace.
Well, we know what happened last day of the season last year with Spurs.
Oh, quite.
They need to get a hold of themselves.
They went into the game drunk. They woke up the next morning with Moussa Sissoko. Yeah. No one was happy about that.
So Levy got his checkbook out, didn't he?
Exactly, yeah.
So obviously we know Palace have then got Hull at home and then Man United away. So I wonder, do we need a sort of narrative algorithm to work out who's going down? Because that game against Palace and Hull is massive. Mm. United could rest players for the Palace game because they're talking about the Europa League, obviously. Swans are in the driving seat, you would think, but West Brom are on the beach. Sunderland beating them could happen. They could do to Hull. Do to Swansea what they did to Hull, and then obviously
to Hull.
Yeah, yeah. And the Leroy Fer relegation factor as well. So exactly. how do all these things match together?
Right.
Who's going down? They're all going
this
down.
This is like a Christopher Nolan movie. Of relegation absolutely unbelievable.
Well, just give the ball to Benteke because he was incredibly isolated in that match. He did have a chance.
Do you see that? Sorry, I'm so giddy about this. I enjoyed it so much. I've forgotten how to speak. Did you see that bit where he passed the ball with his chest? It was statuesque. He just sort of stood there like a statue and chested it down to Zaha. It just didn't move. It was
a
beautiful.
Power chest.
A power chest indeed.
Yeah, nice to see. I also think the thing with Palace is the momentum thing, right? Mm. And not only that, if you already assume your team is going to be fine. And I think what's happened is they picked up a couple of positive results past, and they think, do you know what, we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And even if it's subconsciously, they've got 38 points, I think. To be relegated on 38 points would be a disaster. So they're probably not even thinking about it. Mm. But if you're a Palace fan, listen to this. This will make you very happy or very nervous. I've had a little tickle on to be relegated. I've had a little bet.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, so that could be the greatest insurance they'll need.
The Burnley game is the one they'll rue. They were probably looking at that.
Quite. And that's a terrible, terrible result for them. I mean, Burnley, you know, travel sickness isn't even the word for Burnley. Mm. And, you know, that result, as Jim rightly says, will be demoralising. I mean, to go away to Man City and get beaten 2-0 or 3-0 is probably standard.
Oh, Mendy got involved at the end.
He did. Yeah. He's taking a piss.
Sterling's goal was so easy. Like, for every Man City player involved in it, it was just like an absolute stroll.
I'm officially... He looked great. He looked really, really good. But I'm worried for Palace. I really am. And I think the fixtures aren't kind to them either. I just think they've got a real chance of going down. Mm. Like, a surprise package relegation. Mm. So who knows?
Well, to cheer them up on a Saturday night, Crystal Palace,
I heard about this, Peter.
I attended, Pete Donaldson Esquire, attended what can only be described as Crystal's nightclub.
Tell us everything.
So you actually went, and am I right in saying you sent a WhatsApp saying you were denied entry initially?
I was denied entry because I was with two people who were wearing trainers in 2017.
Or is
it
one of those little machines that wouldn't let you in because of your past crimes?
Yeah, exactly. Does not compute. No, and then I erroneously sent a friend into there by accident. I said, "Mate, is in there," and I forgot that I'd not been allowed in. So this guy turned up, Al, my bezzy.
Your long-suffering best mate.
My long-suffering best mate. He turned up there and I was like, oh, crap. I'm
at least he turned up this time.
I know, yeah.
Last time you paid for him to go on the holiday and he didn't turn up.
He's done that two or three times. Yeah. He's a hateful individual.
Yeah. Well, to be fair then, mate, I feel less sympathy for him now. Getting stranded in Crystals because of you.
So I had to go in the end.
What's
I had to
it
go
like
and rescue him.
Tell me of the splendour.
It's like, it's the only nightclub I've ever been in where everyone is over 40, possibly 45.
Wow. You're from Hartlepool, so I find that hard to believe.
Honestly, I've never seen anything like it. It was magical in the strangest kind of way.
Was it all ass's milk and monkey embryos and swan's blood and everything?
Presumably everything's like just red and blue neon as well, right?
It was a bit like lifting up a rock and seeing a load of Smurfs. You're going, oh, what's going on in here? They're having like a box social.
What sort of offers do they have on alcohol?
I seem to remember the drinks being quite expensive.
Right, okay.
They had a guy in the toilet. I didn't
Big
tip him. Didn't tip him.
Check.
Big Sam tie around his head.
No. There was nothing so salacious. It was. Just,
and what time? What sort of time were you there?
They did have drinks with possibly, I think, those where they put the tiny little sparklers in the top of the drinks.
Oh God!
They had bottle service anyway.
Are they even doing Crystal Palace pun player theme names of drinks?
No, it's very unrelated. They had one of those screens that you had in like the late 90s, early noughties, where you could text and the message comes up.
Right,
on the screen,
okay, wow.
And it'd be like, oh, Buzz, get your knob out. Dave's drunk, he's in the loo. And one of them said,
just two of the examples of what you put.
One of them said, Zoe, I still love you.
Oh, God.
Really, like,
another one
what
of yours.
What a tribute.
it is true what they say, then. It's better not to meet your heroes.
No.
I'm pleased with it, because you were lobbying fairly hard for a team outing to Crystal.
I don't think it's half bad. Enjoy myself more than I've enjoyed myself in a nightclub for a long time.
Okay.
I think we should, I don't know. You should just get a direct line to that Crystal's nightclub thing and just text it when you're drunk.
If they start doing pun drinks around Crystal Palace players' names, past and present, I'm interested.
Okay.
That'll get me around the table. Why not for doing that? And the true name of investigative journalism, Pete, I think that's very admirable. Well done.
Well, it took us long enough, didn't it, for one of us to actually get in?
I mean, it's just down the road from where I live, no invite. There we go.
Arsenal 2, Man United 0. I was working and half-watching this match. What a stinking first half that was.
I find it hard these days to stick with it.
I
think, do you know what?
Second screen, man. You've got the mobile phone.
I've been doing this for ages now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can really justify this.
You forget because you're constantly punched in the face with how amazing the Premier League is that sometimes football can be quite boring.
I can feel my cells dying when I watch matches like that.
And this is even worse because this is like at the top of their game, two division unifying heavyweight boxers who are now just a bit punch drunk and making excuses and shouting at each other and doing horrible things in the press conference and stuff. Yeah, exactly. So it's very hard to maintain the big enthusiasm for it. But I will say this, I bloody well enjoyed Danny Welbeck's header.
Yeah, yes. It was a great header.
It was David Platt-esque.
It was lovely, and it was a great cross from Oxlade-Chamberlain as well, who had a very good game. He seemed to really find his feet as a wing-back in that match. I was actually impressed with Aaron Ramsey as well, because he led. You know, he's got that in him, and sometimes he sort of shies away and you don't see that sort of
The Wales Ramsey, basically.
Yeah, quite. Yeah. That's very true, actually. Yeah, and Ozil played well too. So it's nice just to see the team play with some fluidity and play well against anyone, regardless of the team that Mourinho put out, because he did make a lot of changes, obviously. And
he made big points about it.
He
got his excuse in early, didn't he?
It was the old.
And he's just using it now.
It was the old Redknapp putting two keepers on the bench.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, look what I've got to deal with here.
I've got the players.
Yeah,
I've got the players.
Look what I do. Yeah, and I think that's Mourinho all over, isn't it? I mean, to be fair to Mourinho, I mean, that was the first competitive win Wenger's had over him. The only other result I could find that he beat him in was the Community Shield, a couple of years ago. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great result for Arsenal in that context, but it's a great result for them because they need to win. But I mean, is it a little bit trite, Jim, to say that now that the pressure's off them, they're just doing their thing and they're always a bit like this?
You backed up by facts there, really, aren't you?
Okay.
They can finish fourth. Yeah, they need to really put a shift in and try and win every game. So they've got Southampton away, Stoke away, great. Then Sunderland at home and Everton at home. So, you know, if they just if they can get as many points as they can from that and hope everyone else slips up, they might have a chance. It's still going to be tough, but they look confident in that game. They need to take that on. But this is the thing, they don't translate it to every game. I was impressed with Xhaka as well, because he had a couple of incidents where he gave the ball away foolishly and whatnot, but he just kept going. He had a really good game, and he didn't let any mistakes he made get him down. I'd like to see that from him.
And the final day of the season, Everton's, I know not enough has been made of how woeful Everton have been away from home this season. I mean, they've only won four away, which is absolutely dreadful for the team they've got. And the fact that, you know, I'm not picking on Everton for any particular reason, but when you have to sit through all the newspaper headlines every week almost of Ronald Koeman being linked with Barcelona over and over again, I mean, you think you better put together an away performance every so often. And so you'd fancy Arsenal to win on the final day, no problem. But then we don't know, in this context of the season, these results just chuck themselves up. Nowhere in this room would have thought that Sunderland would have beaten Hull.
Absolutely.
At Hull. I mean, it just wouldn't happen. So you never know what's going to happen. But yeah, it was a poor game. It was one of those Sunday afternoon games at 4:30 or 4 o'clock where you're looking forward to it. I got all my stuff done out of the way on Sunday so I could sit down and watch the game, and it's really let me down. And that's what it's all about.
Sorry,
me not being
letting
you
down. What was your stuff you got done?
Well, I had to. Oh God, this is middle class, isn't it? I basically had to go pick up some shopping. I had to go to the farmer's market because my wife wanted something particularly from the food market.
Can we stop this show? Just stop it. Forever.
Okay. Yeah. Fine.
You know,
this is it.
This is what we've become.
Just whacking.
I'm at Crystal's, an over 40s nightclub, and you're at the farmer's market. But
just put in the old theme tune now.
It's one side of the coin, the other. Me and Pete, we're like the odd couple. You either want Pete, who's, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, depressingly holding on to a mid-20s vintage.
Yeah.
Or it's me.
I was never a vintage, so I've got to find it somewhere, haven't I?
Or it's me finally rolling over and accepting the man I am, which is a food-obsessed middle-class idiot. So, yeah, take your pick, Pete. Take your pick.
I know.
Yeah, Jim probably flits between both of them, Jim.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. He's flirted with boss situations.
So I also have to do some dusting and some vacuum cleaning. There you go.
Very nice. I'm actually quite
in that order,
on.
I hope. Yeah, otherwise, what are you doing?
No, exactly. No, apparently, you say it, Jim. I was under that impression, but
no,
I've heard.
As soon as you start dusting, you charge the ions on your surfaces, and that's going to pick up more dust when you go hoovering.
You've made that up. What I was going to say was, actually, you'd think this, you'd think to do, presumably you would say you did the dusting first, but no, apparently the hoovering kicks up all the dust, and then you dust with a static duster, which takes the dust away, so it is apparently better to hoover first.
So the answer here is get a cleaner.
Get your emails in, and just put vacuum cleaning in the subject line, and a couple of you will win a pair of tickets to my house to do my vacuum cleaning.
I genuinely think Pete might be right. I think we should stop.
Okay, I think we should stop.
Most of the people who'll be emailing are the ones who are doing it for their mums and dads.
People say we've jumped the shark. We can't even see the shark anymore. Years ago.
We've dusted the shark. Goodness.
Yeah.
So Arsenal are still in sixth place after this one. But they had 2 points off United and 6 off Man City in fourth with a game in hand over both. It could happen, Jim.
Oh, I don't like stats.
They could be sliding. I've got markers for the week, aren't I? So I've got to like them.
How does it feel, by the way?
Speaking of... Hairy. Are you hairy? Yeah. I can feel my hair just growing.
Is it like a really shit version of the film Teen Wolf?
Yeah, it's just really slow.
Yeah, you finally emerge from the bathroom with your dad sort of berating you, and you're really hairy.
I feel more married than I did last week.
Yeah, okay.
In the Championship, speaking of stats, Newcastle United, champions.
Did it took them a while, did it in the final?
Well, they didn't do anything, did they?
No, they didn't need to.
It was a friend of Lucky Moore, David Stockdale, either unsighted or just losing his mind.
Was
I don't
the sun
know.
In his eyes? That was tragic.
Well,
he's quite up to the floor.
He's had a poor end of the season, really.
He's had a good season in general.
Stop looking at me with side eyes like he's my mate, because I met him once like 5 years ago.
Oh, I heard you wrote him a check.
Clint Hill, Jamie, do you want to be friends?
Clint Hill is genuinely my friend.
Well, I mean, just what I like about that is that he did let in 2 on-goals like 2 weeks ago, and now he's done this.
Stop rubbing salt in the wound. Stop being so salty.
I can't believe you've done this.
Brighton reduced to runners-up after 10-man Villa's 89th minute equaliser.
Grealish as well.
What a sick and eggs. Yeah, Grealish.
Grealish hit and hug.
He won't have to buy a bit of hippie crack in Newcastle the rest of his career.
Yeah. Is that what he's going for? Probably is. I watched, in the Championship, I watched the Forest game, and they were bloody excellent. They were fantastic. They really were. If I was a Forest fan, I mean, those of you who didn't see it, they won 3-0. They probably should have won 5-0, actually.
You probably are a fan of Forests, walking through them with your big coat on.
Me?
To the farmer's market.
Yeah, my beard.
On a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, listening to Sigur Rós. I would be truly frustrated as a Forest fan. I mean, I know they've had a lot of problems off the pitch and stuff, but they're clearly capable of such good performances. I know Chris Cullen is a really important player for them, so injury problems. And Assombalongo, who on this day, I mean, he's still only 24, I think, one of the best strikers in that division. And when they're fit and firing, and they can clearly compete with the best of them. But they were absolutely superb. It was a really good performance. I'm pleased they stayed up. Mm. Sad that Blackburn went down, of course, yeah. because they're a big club as well, and they've been mismanaged horrendously. But we say that about every other football league team these days, don't
That's
we?
That's the first time a Premier League winner has dropped into the third tier.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Okay, yeah. And obviously Redknapp did his business with Birmingham.
Yeah, he did. Insane. You know, he won as many games as Zola has for Birmingham this season.
Two out of three. And they're unlucky in the other game as well.
Yeah.
And as much as I am loathe, in the context of this show, to give huge amounts of credit to Redknapp, I mean, they won two out of three. If they'd not picked up at least 5 points of those three games, they would have gone down given their goal difference.
Yeah, credit where it's due.
And they got six, so they stayed up. And they would have been on 47 points, I think, if they hadn't won any of them, and they'd have easily been relegated.
But we said it at the time, sometimes players just need a bit of a boost to sort of just take the pressure off, just go out there and play. And that's what Harry Redknapp does. He's not a tactical manager, is he?
Joe, I wouldn't be surprised if... In maybe not in the near future, maybe not particularly Redknapp, but I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing a lot more of taking this this manager coming in and giving teams a lift to its logical conclusion, and seeing more and more managers going in for a few games, almost like mercenary type stuff at the end of a season. Because
I think we're in that age, aren't we?
But it doesn't happen as often as perhaps you'd expect. I mean, we do see clubs sacking managers when they still think there's time to turn it around.
Yeah.
But if you look at what Redknapp did at Birmingham there, I mean, you can't really argue with it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's like Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction.
Basically, yeah. Or like Mike in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Just get in there, getting it sorted.
Fixer.
Although Mike's a bit more professional than Harry Redknapp, obviously. But Redknapp gave a really... one of the things...
Yeah, loving a bit of Redknapp this week. I'm having
what
this.
What I was going to say was he gave an interesting press conference after the final game of the season, saying he wasn't sure what he was doing and all this other stuff. And he got a phone call and said it was from Beijing and he was going to China and ha ha ha. But one of the things that's always really apparent for those who are interested in this sort of thing is that how sycophantic and how much the journalists absolutely love him, and how Redknapp studiously, you notice this, wherever he goes next, watch this, he studiously learns the names of all the local journalists, and he always answers them with their first name, with their Christian name.
Yeah.
And it obviously makes them feel really important. And he was doing that the whole press conference here, and he'd only been in Birmingham like 2 weeks.
Isn't
all of a sudden, he's best mates with everyone in the press.
George Bush used to be really good at learning everyone's names. Like, he could go into a room and just remember everyone's names immediately.
W or HW?
Young one. W.
Okay,
W.
Right. Yeah, he's got a bit of a folksy charm about him these days, George Bush. Yeah.
So, forget all the bad stuff.
With Redknapp, I guess he gives good copy, doesn't he? So they want to keep him on side.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think that's absolutely got a huge part to do.
Yeah. But the playoffs are Fulham versus Reading and Huddersfield versus Chef Wed. What do we fancy out of those? Fulham back in the...
Back
Premier
in the mix.
League.
Well, what I do know is whenever you ask a fan of a club who's about to enter the playoffs, and I've got direct experience in this, and you ask them any of them, do they fancy themselves in the playoffs? They always say no.
Yeah.
Nah, it's difficult. Yeah,
it's
no chance.
It's a lottery.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say. And I hate to be the one to break it, but one of those teams has got to win it. So
yeah.
I think with given the momentum, you'd be a fool to back against Fulham. And Reading have had a good run, but they've beaten, from memory, they've beaten some sort of fairly poor teams, Wigan and Rotherham and that. So I think Fulham might be the team to back there.
Indeed. Well, we are going to be heading to League One and League Two and giving you a few highlights of the weekend after this.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. We do a show on the Friday. We call it the preview show, sponsored by Bet365. And is Hraffen still in the hot seat, Luke?
Hraffen Ingerson. I hate to be the one to break this to everyone. He has let down the good history and customs of his mother country, Iceland, by backing Arsenal to beat Man United. But there to be over 2.5 goals in the game, which there weren't, because Man United didn't play their part and Arsenal didn't play their part enough for it to happen.
So back in the cold seat for you, Hraffen.
All we needed was half a goal.
There's no...
all we needed.
There's no shortage of cold seats in Iceland, let me tell you that. But we're looking for a new person to step up to the hot seats. Email show at thefootballramble.com. If you want to take charge of our Bet of the Week feature, you'll be most welcome to do so.
Indeed. In League One, Steve Morrison, the difference is that Millwall reach Wembley for the second season in a row. It's kind of weird having the season ending a little bit early. It's kind of confusing. Yeah. We're already at the playoffs.
Some of the playoffs have started.
Actually, I think, if we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, Pete, I think they might have been about to start the last show we did, but we completely forgot about it because they started so quickly. Because League One finished inexplicably early.
Yeah.
But I watched, I had the privilege of watching the Fleetwood Bradford game. That was dreadful. That was bad. It was 0-0, I think. And but do you remember late last week we were talking about the grand final thing in the context of the A League and about how a team can finish so many points above another team, but they've still got to win this knockout. We sort of have that in the playoffs as well, if you think about it, because Millwall are through to the playoff final, as you said, Pete. They finished 9 points behind Scunthorpe.
So
Scunthorpe aren't going to be there. So I mean,
fifth and sixth proceed to the to the final.
Life's not fair, mate.
No,
no.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it teaches us. That's the point of it.
Who wins Saturday?
It's one of the. I always got to mention this every year. But so yeah, obviously Millwall in the playoff final, and it's one of the best pieces of commentary ever. When the League One playoff final commentator, I've said this to you before, but I'll just remind you guys. You know that bit before the game starts where they go to a real quick break and they come back. And they did that, and they come back from the break, and the commentator was so excited, he went, "It's the most wonderful time of the year, the League One playoff final." Not even the teams involved are thinking this. No. Well, you've gone way over the top there.
They're not enjoying it.
I think it was probably 0-0.
Oh, my days. So in League Two, Pools are down. Hartlepool's 96-year stay in the league.
Yeah, get them out of the way.
Ends in dramatic fashion. 2 goals in 9 minutes for Devante Rodney. It looked as if it was enough to keep Pools up, but no, Mark O'Brien for Newport County smashed home a winner on the 89th minute against Notts County and saved his own team.
It seems to happen a lot, doesn't it? It's the same with Blackburn. Really, really late on, it was confirmed. It's a real shame.
Mark O'Brien's celebration was great because he did that thing where he ran so fast that his legs couldn't keep up and he just fell over.
Fell over.
Yeah. You don't like the thing of professional athletes doing that, do you?
I mean, no.
Funnily enough, I'm familiar with the feeling.
But surely the big story here, Pete, the big story
is Mark O'Brien's beard.
A man
with that accent should not be growing a big ginger beard.
What do you mean?
He looks like a stereotype.
I've never heard him speak.
Well, he talks like this.
Okay, right.
And I got a big ginger beard I have.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Yeah, write him a check. You won't cash it. He's a footballer. Don't need it. The big story here is the 6-1 win down at Fratton Park. Surely.
Isn't it? Isn't it just, Luke? Have your moment.
Why are we bringing this in? This isn't in the running order. I planned the running order. This isn't going in. Portsmouth, 6-1, sealing the league title in spectacular fashion.
Not sealing it, stealing it.
Stealing it.
Do you know how long you were top for this season?
34 minutes.
That's disgusting.
Doncaster and Plymouth, between them, spent 231 days on the top of the table.
Hilarious.
It's all about timing. All about timing.
Plymouth,
left
not
over
in the
from
playoffs.
Teddy Sheringham's days.
And there was
a charm.
And there was an open top bus parade yesterday. And everyone, I didn't get to go down there, sadly. But everyone looked like they bloody enjoyed it.
Brilliant.
So League One, we're coming for Blackburn Rovers next. That's our next scalp. Yeah. A league win over Blackburn Rovers.
Blackpool versus Luton, Carlisle versus Exeter are the playoffs in League Two. What a weekend of football.
No interest in that.
Hold you up. Yeah. Don't need them.
I ain't looking down
Don't
there.
Don't need them.
Forget them.
It was a great weekend overall, I agree.
Well, let's get to the highlights of the week. Have we got any? I've got a couple.
We do, yeah. Shall I read the listeners' ones?
All right, then.
Shall I start with them?
Yeah,
right,
get them first. Yeah,
cool. So, Karim Solomon, we didn't talk about this, but he rightly says, the Arsenal bench gleefully sharing Maltesers behind a visibly annoyed Mourinho, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. That was fun.
I didn't see this.
Yeah, it's exactly what it sounds
like. Yeah, okay.
Just passing out Maltesers.
Okay,
great.
Right.
Don't know why
very
they're
very memeable.
Why not?
Very memeable.
Maybe that's what they're thinking about. The social channels are very good at Arsenal. Mm.
Yeah, to be fair, that's right. Like, annoyingly good if you were a fan of the club, I would have thought. Because it's like, you know, what you're focusing on. Do you know what I mean? It's that type of thing. But with the Maltesers thing, I would have thought they normally share stuff like jelly babies, because they're good for energy and stuff like that. I mean, Maltesers just rot your teeth, don't they?
They just enjoyed them. They just wanted them.
It's a job well done. Let's treat ourselves.
Yeah.
It's a share bag.
Jose looks annoyed. One of the ball boys. Go and get some Maltesers.
Throw one at him.
That'll really, get some chewing gum in his hair.
Don't throw a Malteser at him. He might play it right back.
Jeremy Lavender says, I saw a meme that stated Liverpool spent £91 million buying Southampton players over the last 5 years, yet they have failed to score against them in 360 minutes of football. That is quite the stat, isn't it?
Pete's a meme expert here. You might want to chuck it to Pete. You know all about memes, Pete. What have you got to say about that?
I mean, you're wearing a meme, aren't you? You got your Space Doge t-shirt.
I have got my Space Doge. Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of memes.
Yeah, you only like memes when they're current, though, which is a bit ironic given you're wearing like a 3-year-old dog meme on your t-shirt.
It's a 3-year-old t-shirt.
Yeah, well, get a new one then.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Imagine if you get a meme shirt.
Yeah,
changes every day.
Change
it. Well,
there you go.
I'll just wear a CRT monitor on my belly.
Well, I don't know what that is.
Cathode ray tube. Actually, that wouldn't make
Still
sense.
Don't know what that is.
I need an LCD one. Cathode ray tube's the old, like,
big telly,
tube
yeah.
telly.
You're trying to show off there, weren't you? Yeah, what are you painting it?
Doesn't really matter anyway. You wouldn't understand what I'm talking about anyway.
What are you painting it with your infant chip bowl helmet?
Any more, Jim?
Yes, Connor Barber says, being on the phone to my sister as she discussed her wedding this Friday as Lanzini buried the ball and silently celebrating so much, she asked why I was suddenly out of breath. What I want to know is what she thought he was doing.
Yeah, that's right.
So if we can get some clarification on that, Connor.
Also, why is your sister so really against football that you can't celebrate while you're on the phone to her?
Yeah.
Yeah, weird.
Be yourself, Connor. That's the lesson here. One more from Kit Dixon. My highlight was stumbling across a video of Pete Donaldson making Nick Clegg do a guacamole taste test. Peak internet. Now, I don't think any of us knew that you've done this.
You always do stuff like this. You don't tell us.
Interview Clegg.
I don't have to tell you about everything I do in my life.
Well, it's come up now. So what's happened?
I interviewed Nick Clegg before the last election.
Well, when everyone was loving him.
Yeah. No, Clegg Mania. No, nobody loved him.
Oh, okay, right.
So
where did the guacamole come into it?
His wife had
Spanish.
A cookbook.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
It wasn't like a racist attack. Like, look, have this guacamole.
That's your go-to defence for everything.
Are you the editor of Breitbart?
I gave him two bowls of food, and yeah, I guess which one was his wife's recipe.
And he did, didn't he?
He got it right, but the trick was they were both the same.
You fake newsed him.
I fake newsed him. Man. So who cares?
Hey, you're one of the foremost thinkers of our time.
I know.
No, especially when it comes to sort of
sad, isn't it?
Sort of Mexican themed sort very of inventions.
Very much indicative of a wider problem.
Who are the three other most thinkers? Is it me, you, and Marcus?
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, Pete's definitely in the top four.
Marcus is the hairiest. El Diego, Luke, and Jim. Back in football at the age of 56, technical director of Al Fujairah in the UAE second division. He's got a second division.
Do you want a Mostradamus prediction? He will not be doing that job, that same job, in one calendar month's time.
Agreed, yeah.
UAE's dry, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't think it is.
He's been quiet for a while, hasn't he? His reputation's obviously got so bad. UAE second division is all that you can get now.
And my highlight was Nelson Vivas, ex-Arsenal fullback.
Oh, that was amazing.
Fantastic.
He's coach of Estudiantes now.
Yeah. Got sent off, didn't he? And just off went the shirt.
Yeah, Pete rightly said he looked a bit like a Yakuza gangster in that
Well,
in that
he's
video.
Just got a big back piece, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's like a big
tattoo.
Dragon, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
So we can't discount that Nelson Vivas isn't in the Yakuza. Let's check his fingers for losses. Yeah. Obviously, David Wagner getting his presser cut short by David Warnock.
Neil Warnock.
Neil Warnock.
Sorry, I said
Maniac.
David.
I said David Warnock earlier.
Sorry, David. Never mind. Yeah. Forster unsettling Milner at the penalty spot.
That was fun.
I don't like to see that. It's not nice.
Then why is it a highlight of the week?
I was just saying for other people who are more cruel than I.
Oh, you're a man of the people. That's Milner's first penalty miss this season. He had a 100% record up until then.
Oh.
Were they together at Newcastle, those two? Maybe that's where he got some tips.
No, I don't think it would have crossed over.
Okay, right.
Forster was a bit later.
Forced to play for Newcastle, didn't he?
Yeah, but a bit later than
okay,
Milner.
Right.
The linesman at Kilmarnock, Dundee.
This was brilliant.
He puked up and then was given a joke red card from the referee.
It was great because it was really unsettling.
See, I couldn't find this footage anywhere. Have you seen it?
I just typed in linesman puke into Twitter. So what happens is, for those who haven't seen it, it's Kilmarnock Dundee, wasn't it? There's about to be a corner about to be taken. He clearly says something to the player about to take the corner, which means the player doesn't take the corner. He just waits for him.
Hold up, I'm going to do a pook.
And then he walks over and then does a little bit of sick. And then the referee comes over and gives him a comedy red card. This is great, this bit, because it's like a Reader's Digest of all the stupid stuff that's happened.
Yeah.
Loving it.
More of that, I think. Well, that's about it for us. That's all right with you guys. We are pretty much out of here. We have been the Football Ramble this week. As I said, Marcus Speller will be back for the next show. Do come and see us in Hackney. Show at thefootballramble.com if you want to win your way in. We'll be back on Friday for a bit of Bet365 action. Jim, it's been emotional. It's been real. Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
Luke, see you next time.
Yeah, you're joining me. I'm not joining you, mate.
I've been Pete Donaldson. Piss off.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.